Good morning, friends. This is Joshua Sheets, and today is episode 27 of the Radical Personal Finance Podcast for today, Thursday, July 24, 2014. As you may be able to tell by the sound of my voice, I'm a little bit under the weather, and I've been fighting this off for the last couple days. Nothing seriously wrong. I've just been burning the candle at both ends and didn't take enough time to build in enough time for sleep. So that's a mistake I won't repeat again in the future. But I didn't build enough time for sleep. I fought through it yesterday to record episode 26, but you know, I was thinking back about that episode and I feel like I struggled a little bit. So forgive me if it wasn't quite up to par. But I didn't want to leave you without a show. So today I'm going to play two very short pieces of audio. I think this show will be no more than 10 to 15 minutes in total length. But I didn't want to leave you without a show. So I'm going to play two short pieces of audio today instead of trying to record any commentary. Two short audios by Alan Watts. In case you're unfamiliar with Alan Watts, he was a philosopher. He died back in the 1970s, but I think about 1973. He was a Brit, but he specialized in Eastern philosophy and especially in translating Eastern philosophy into and interpreting it for the Western tradition. So he has various pieces of audio and video recordings that are quite thought-provoking, and I enjoy studying philosophy, and I just felt like these two pieces of audio were very thought-provoking. So I will not make any commentary on them. I will let you interpret your own conclusions, but I do hope you'll take about 10 minutes and listen to these two pieces of audio and enjoy them and consider what they might mean to you. I know that for me, I find them very thought-provoking. We'll be back with more shows just as soon as possible. If I'm able to, I'll bring you a show tomorrow if I'm feeling up to it. If not, we'll be back on Monday with content that hopefully will be up to a higher standard. Just didn't feel like I could deliver for you today. So with that, have a great Thursday.
What do you desire? What makes you itch? What sort of a situation would you like? Let's suppose, I do this often in vocational guidance of students. They come to me and say, well, we're getting out of college and we haven't the faintest idea what we want to do. So I always ask the question, what would you like to do if money were no object? How would you really enjoy spending your life? Well, it's so amazing. As a result of our kind of educational system, crowds of students say, well, we'd like to be painters, we'd like to be poets, we'd like to be writers, but as everybody knows, you can't earn any money that way. Or another person says, well, I'd like to live an out-of-doors life and ride horses. I say, do you want to teach in a riding school? Let's go through with it. What do you want to do? When we finally got down to something which the individual says he really wants to do, I will say to him, you do that. And forget the money. Because if you say that getting the money is the most important thing, you will spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living, that is to go on doing things you don't like doing, which is stupid. Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way. And after all, if you do really like what you're doing, it doesn't matter what it is, you can eventually turn it, you could eventually become a master of it. It's the only way to become a master of something, to be really with it. And then you'll be able to get a good fee for whatever it is. So don't worry too much. Somebody's interested in everything. And anything you can be interested in, you'll find others who are. But it's absolutely stupid to spend your time doing things you don't like in order to go on spending things you don't like, doing things you don't like, and to teach your children to follow in the same track. See, what we're doing is we're bringing up children and educating them to live the same sort of lives we're living, in order that they may justify themselves and find satisfaction in life by bringing up their children, to bring up their children to do the same thing, so it's all retch and no vomit. It never gets there. And so, therefore, it's so important to consider this question, what do I desire?
Thank you. we have an absolutely extraordinary attitude in our culture and in various other cultures, high civilizations, to the new member of human society. Instead of saying frankly to children, how do you do? Welcome to the human race. We are playing a game, and we are playing by the following rules. We want to tell you what the rules are so that you'll know your way around, and when you've understood what rules we're playing by, when you get older, you may be able to invent better ones. But instead of that, we still retain an attitude to the child that he is on probation. He's not really a human being. He's a candidate for humanity. And in just this way, we have a whole system of preparation of the child for life, which always is preparation and never actually gets there. In other words, we have a system of schooling which starts with grades, and we get it always preparing for something that's going to happen. So you go into nursery school as preparation for kindergarten. You go into kindergarten as preparation for first grade. And then you see you go up the grades till you get to high school. And then comes a time when maybe if we can get you fascinated enough with the system, you go to college. And then when you go to college, if you're smart, you get into graduate school and stay a perpetual student. And go back to be a professor and just go round and round in the system. But in the ordinary way, they don't encourage quite that. They want you after graduate school or after graduation, commencement as it's called, beginning to get out into the world with a capital W. And so you've been trained for this and now you've arrived. But when you get out into the world at your first sales meeting, they've got the same thing going again, because they want you to make that quota. And if you do make it, they give you a higher quota. And come along about 45 years of age, maybe you're vice president. And you suddenly dawns on you that you've arrived. With a certain sense of having been cheated, because it is just the same as things. Life feels the same as it always felt. And you are conditioned to be in desperate need of a future. So the final goal that this culture prepares for us is called retirement. When you will be a senior citizen and you will have the wealth and the leisure to do what you've always wanted, but you will at the same time have impotence, a rotten prostate, and false teeth, and no energy. So all the whole thing from beginning to end is a hoax. You are involved by and large in a very strange business system which divides your day into work and play. Work is something that everybody does, and you get paid to do it because nobody could care less about doing it. In other words, it is so abominable and boring that you can get paid for doing it. And the object of doing this is to make money. And the object of making money is to go home and enjoy the money that you've made. When you've got it, you see, you can buy pleasure. And in myriads of ways, you see, you go home, we're the wealthiest people in the world, and you would think that having earned your money and go home, you would have an orgy and a great banquet and so on, but nobody does. They eat a TV dinner, which is just a warmed-over airline food, and then they spend the evening looking at an electronic reproduction of life, which is divided from you by a glass screen. You can't touch it, you can't smell it, it has no color, except maybe if you're very wealthy it has color. But by and large it doesn't, and you look at this thing, and you have a strange feeling, you see, that the whole procession of grades that was leading to something in the future, to that goodie, that gorgeous, voluptuous goodie that was lying at the end of the line, it never quite turns up. And this is because from the beginning, we condition our children to a defective sense of identity. We condition the child in a way that sets the child a life problem which is insoluble, and therefore attended by constant frustration. And as a result of this problem being insoluble, it is perpetually postponed to the future. So that one lives, one is educated to live in the future, and one is not ever educated to live today. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the philosophy of carpe diem, let us drink today for tomorrow we die, and not make any plans. What I am saying is that making plans for the future is of use only to people who are capable of living completely in the present.